Got in on the last part of your remembrance service, and it warmed my heart to be with you for a few moments there. And you know, one of the last things that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 about remembering the Lord Jesus is that we do that till he comes. And that is the topic of our characteristic of the church today. This is number 8 in a series called The Marks of a Healthy Assembly. And Lord willing, we're going to finish at least to this as much as we have covered in this. This is the last message that I want to give today concerning the characteristics of a healthy assembly. Now, you can add to that, of course. You keep studying, you keep enlarging, and things just get bigger and better, and we get more accountable too. I want to warn you about that. The more you study the Word of God, the more you realize the responsibility that we have. I'm just going to refresh your minds of the 7 previous points that we have made, talking about the marks or the characteristics of a healthy assembly. Number 1, an assembly that loves the Lord and obeys his word. Number 2, elders that are examples to the flock. Elders that lead by godly examples. Number 3, the marks of a healthy assembly is an assembly that is willing to submit themselves to those in authority over them. An assembly that's willing to follow the shepherd's example and pray for them and encourage them. Number 4, a church that cares for itself and enlarges, it grows, a caring and growing church. Number 5, a church that has a burden to reach the lost, a church that takes serious the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus sending us, his church, into the world to preach the gospel. Number 6, a praying church. A church that, as we saw from the scriptures, began in prayer, about 120. And the first thing you know, the Spirit of God visited them, and the church is born in prayer. The church continues in prayer. And if you've got a praying church, you've got a healthy church. Number 7, last week, we didn't really want to deal with this, but we have to, a church that deals with sin, sin in the camp, sin like leaven, leavens the whole church. Sin will spread like a cancer. It has to be dealt with. Now, I just want to remind you again, if things are confined to 1 or 2 or 3 people and it can be dealt with on that level, please don't spread it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about dealing with public sin, and the whole church knows it, and the whole church has to be involved in dealing with that. But now number 8, and we come to our final in this series, a church that is looking, I'm going to even say waiting, I'm going to even say eagerly waiting, joyfully waiting, expectingly waiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to John chapter 14, please. John chapter 14. And we're going to suggest some things that will be true for a church that is actually waiting for the Lord Jesus. John chapter 14, you know this. This is not a foreign scripture to you. It is a very common of scripture. Probably if you go to a funeral, you're going to hear this scripture read. Every preacher is going to get up and read about the return of the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't want to roost here for a while, but I just want to mention it to you. This is the night before the Lord is crucified. He gathers his own, and he's about to unfold some truth to them. That he wanted them to get it in their head. He wanted them to make sure that he knows, that they know what is about to happen. But notice how he starts in verse 1 of John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Oh, dear friend, let me tell you, that we live in a troubling world. There is trouble on every side. There are stress and anxieties and frustration and pestilence and earthquake and tsunami and diseases and COVID and you name it. Terrorism, all kind of things going on. Well, guess what? Draw aside for a moment. Jesus brought those disciples, as it were, under his wing that day, that evening. And he said to them, don't let your heart be troubled. Fear not. It's going to be okay. And a church that has that attitude about the promises and the return of the Lord Jesus is going to be a church that can be comforted. He goes on to say, in my Father's house are many mansions, you know that. And he goes on to say, if I go away, I'm going to come again. There it is. There it is. I'm going away and I'm coming again. And where I am, there you're going to be also. I'm going to receive you to myself. So in the midst of everything going around us at hurricane speed, think about this. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled now. Don't let your heart be troubled. Now let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're thinking about a healthy church is a church that focuses on the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's probably not a more exciting doctrine in scripture that Jesus is coming again. I mean, think about it. My goodness. I mean, he came the first time. He gave his life. He shed his blood. You've remembered that this morning. And he's gathered the church together and he's commissioned us and we go out and all the, and we're going and we're going and we're going. And he says, I'm coming. I'm coming. Keep it in your mind. Listen, put it in your back pocket. Put it in your shirt pocket. Get it on the tip of your tongue. Have it in the front of your mind. This is a great motivator for the believer. This is a great encourager for the church. The same one who went up into heaven is coming in like manner. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I want you to notice verse number nine, 1 Thessalonians in verse 9. They themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. Notice the conjunction and, oh, okay. Watch that. That's very interesting. Did you catch that? And to wait. So in other words, let me put it like this. Waiting has activity. You don't just, okay, I'm waiting. Jesus is coming. Very good. I'm so glad he's coming. No. Watch this. Go back to verse 6. This is the testimony. Notice, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Spirit. Verse 7, you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believed. Verse 8, from you sounded forth the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God is gone out. We don't need to do anything. For they, who? Macedonia and Achaia, and wherever the word of God went, they declared, they said what had happened. They said, you have sounded forth the word of God. What was my point? They weren't just waiting, they were working. Look at the words in verse 6. They became followers. Wonderful. Look at verse 7. They became examples. Isn't that marvelous? Look at verse 8. The word of God sounded forth from them. Look at verse 8 at the end. Their faith has gone out. That's what waiting's all about. Jesus didn't just say, go sit on the mountain and wait. He said, go into all the world and wait. And while you're waiting, you get working. While you're waiting, you get praying. While you're waiting, there's activity. Listen, the story of the prodigal son, you remember that story? Now, the father saw the son when he was a great way off. That's a wonderful story. But let me tell you something. And man never quit farming the whole time. He was waiting. He's working and he's watching. He's working and he's waiting. He's working and he's hoping. He's expecting him to come, but he never stopped running the farm. Christians don't quit. They don't give up. We become followers. We become examples. The word of God sounds forth. Our faith goes out. And while we're doing all of that, we're waiting for the Lord Jesus to come from heaven. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I tell you, this is a revelation if you never thought about this. It's not just, go find an easy chair somewhere and kick up your feet and push back and just say, Jesus is coming. That is not the way we wait. That is not the way we look for the coming of the Lord Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice it, please. In let's just jump right in. Verse 7, talking about the Corinthian believers. So that you come short and no gift. Watch it. Eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's his coming. When he comes, when it's unveiled and revealed, and that's his coming. But now notice this. God is faithful in verse number 9, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his son. Verse 10, let's get there. I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch this. This is what you do while you are eagerly waiting for Jesus to come. Notice it, that you all speak the same thing, number one, that there be no divisions among you, number two, but that you perfectly join together in same mind, number three, and the same judgment in number four. Corinth had a huge problem. They were gifted in every area. The grace of God was abundant to them. They were eagerly waiting. And while they were eagerly waiting, it says in verse 11, it's been declared unto me by those of Chloe's house that there are contentions among you. That's a problem. That's not the way you wait. That's not the way you look for the return of the Lord Jesus. The way you look for the return of the Lord Jesus is that you have fellowship. While you are waiting, you got same mind, no division, same judgment, no division, speak the same thing. What are you doing? You're working together. That's the way you wait. That makes a healthy church. You can't have a healthy church and say, oh, we're hoping Jesus comes soon, and bickering and complaining and divisions and accusations and saying, oh, I believe in this guy. Well, I believe in this one. This is the best preacher. No, that's the best. No, that's not the way you wait. You want to have a healthy assembly? You work on unity and fellowship and one mind and all those things. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're thinking about a healthy assembly looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And look at verse number 8. Verse number 8. Paul says, finally, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Oh, now listen, if I knew nothing else, I know that if you eagerly wait, you love the appearing, the coming of the Lord Jesus on your heart, on your mind, all the time, thinking about it, can't wait, saying, oh Lord, I'm ready for this. I'm hoping you come today. You get a reward for that. You get what is called here a crown of righteousness. But now let's just go back and read the context, okay? Because this is not just waiting. This, oh, I love Jesus so much, and I can't wait on him to get here. Okay, while you're loving his appearing, what should you do? Look in verse 2, context. Preach the word, be in season, out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. A time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heed to themselves teachers. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, be turned unto fables. You watch in all things. You do endure affliction. You do the work of an evangelist. You fulfill your ministry. And he said, I'm ready. And you might hear it in an echo and in your mind. Paul said, I'm ready. Are you? What do you do if you love the appearing of the Lord? You preach the word. You endure hardness. You spread the truth. You watch in all things. You endure afflictions. You do the work of an evangelist. You fulfill God's gift and talent in your life. Why what? Why are you waiting? Why are you waiting? Listen, if you got a healthy church and a church that's looking for the Lord's return, you got a busy church. You've got an active church. Titus chapter 2. Next book, chapter 2. Look at verse 11. Verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, all right, let me go ahead and get the thunder out. This is what you do while you're waiting, okay? This is what you do while you're waiting. Salvation has appeared to all men. Jesus changes lives. Watch it. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live. How should we live? Soberly, righteously, godly in this present age. Doing what? Looking. Looking. See, everywhere you read about Jesus returning, you got instructions with it. It's never just, well, I kind of go home, turn on the TV, and Jesus. No, that's not what you do. There's something you do. You deny ungodliness, worldly lust. You live soberly, righteously, godly, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is called a blessed hope. And while we're waiting on the blessed hope, while we're waiting on Jesus who said, I'm coming to receive you to myself, while we're doing that, there is a life of dedication and separation to the Lord Jesus. I hope you're getting this. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Okay. 1 John chapter 3. A church looking for the return of the Lord Jesus is a church that purifies itself. 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, that is when he is coming, when he appears, okay, we shall be like him. Isn't that wonderful? For we shall see him as he is. You say, oh, wow, that's great. I'm so tired of this old world. The world doesn't know me, and I don't know the world, and I love Jesus, and he's coming back, and I'm going to be like him. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it is, but you can't quit reading. Look at verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him, what hope? Hope that he's coming back. Hope that he's going to receive us. Hope that is a blessed hope. Hope that is a hope we don't have to fear what's going on around us. Everyone that has this hope in him, notice what that next word says. Next word says, purifies himself. Just as Jesus is pure. What do I do while I'm waiting on the blessed hope? Well, I am working out, are you listening to me? I am working out a purifying hope. It's not just a blessed hope, it's a purifying hope. You say, what does that mean? Well, listen, if something is pure, it's without mixture. This is a life totally dedicated to the Lord. Oh, we're in the world. You can't get out of it. You got to go to school, got to go to work, got to do this, you're in the world, but you're not of it anymore. You're separate from the world now. The old Joe's been crucified. I got a new life. And life I live now is a life with Christ lives in me now. And if I have this hope, then I'm just going to work on it. Oh, not that I'm going to speed it up or slow it down, but I'm going to be ready when he comes. You're in chapter 3, back up to chapter 2, verse 28. Same book, chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, this is Jesus, we may have confidence and not be, oh, folks, you don't want to be ashamed. We want to have confidence, right? We don't want to be ashamed before him at his coming. So therefore, what do? We work, we watch, we pray, we are busy. We're carrying out the Great Commission. We're making sure there's no divisions among us. We're keeping short accounts in our own life with the Lord. And then lastly, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, because I know you probably thought he missed that one. Well, it's a common one, but I didn't miss it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And notice we're going to begin reading in verse 13. This is a healthy church. A healthy church is waiting and watching and looking for the return of the Lord Jesus. But we're not lazy, we're working. Verse 13, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope, no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. That's your family members, your neighbor, your mom, your dad, those who've trusted Christ and they have died. The body has been put to sleep in the grave. The soul and spirit are with the Lord Jesus. God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not by any means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead, those who sleep, the dead in Christ, they're going first. Then we who are alive, it is coming, we shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Thus shall we always be with the Lord. Don't forget the last verse, my point. Comfort one another. Listen with these words. If you have a church that is looking, watching, waiting, praying, working, busy, sounding forth, keeping short accounts, no divisions, no arguments, same mind, same judgment, all the working, encouraging, preaching, testifying, looking, knowing it's a blessed hope, knowing it's a purifying hope, you're going to get closer and closer to the Lord all the time as you wait. Guess what else it'll be? And this is my final word. It's a comforting hope. It's a comforting hope. My goodness, we need some comfort. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's okay. Now, don't sleep in the tent. Matthew tells us, the Lord tells us, when the servant slept in the tent, the enemies came and sowed tares in the field. Don't sleep. Don't be lazy. That's the point. Don't just say, oh, well, you know. No, not the Christian. Eagerly waiting. Okay. Don't sleep. Don't rest on the oars. You know what that means? You're rowing, right? Okay. Okay, I'm going against the flow. I'm going upstream. Here we go. I think I'll just stop for a minute. You know, if you're going upstream and you stop, you know which way you go? Toward the falls. Toward Niagara. If you rest on the oars, you only go one way. You don't go up. You don't even maintain. You go downstream and pretty fast. Don't rest on the oars. Don't sleep in the tent. Watch in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry while you wait. He's coming. This might be it. We go, oh, I hope COVID is gone by next year. I hope the Lord comes. Oh, listen, plan like you got 100 years and live today like it's the last one. That is a healthy attitude for you and a healthy attitude for the church. Let's pray. Father, you've just covered all of the bases. You've given us all that pertains to life and godliness. You have blessed us, encouraged us, met our needs, answered our prayers, given us such wonderful promises. Jesus said, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you might be also. Oh, Father, we are in a win-win situation. You can't lose when you trust the Lord. Father, thank you. And Lord Jesus, sometimes we forget you're coming. We're just going to be honest. We get busy and a day goes by and we don't even think about it. Lord, help us to think about it. Help us to keep on keeping on. Help us to remember that Jesus is coming and we don't want to be ashamed when he comes. And so do your work in our hearts, please. We're not capable of doing anything ourselves, but we just commend ourselves, our assemblies, our dear ones, our family, our friends, and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.